Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. Taking your questions this evening, we have Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective in studio, all the way from Wolfsburg, as independent analyst Frans de Klerk. Don't forget to send through your questions. You can SMS them to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can also tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Before we get cracking, though, here's a quick glimpse at today's closes on the JSE. And the all-share ended almost entirely flat as a 1% gain in financials was countered by a 0.8% drop in the Resi 10. Industrials were marginally weaker despite big gains in some of the retailers. Good evening, Graham. Good evening, Frans. And I see you've had some rain over in Wolfsburg this week.
So we had lovely rain and compliments to everybody there.
Okay. So maybe pick up with the retailers, Graham, because it's been quite a big week for updates and they've been pretty mixed. Woolworths up 10% today, and that's despite that pretty bleak update earlier this week, though we have seen the retailers in general doing quite well.
Yeah, so I think the view of the market is, I think that South Africa Incorporated is looking forward to a much better 2018. I think the November retail sales figures also gave the market a lot of cheer. I think there might be a Black Friday effect in there, and you know, people would say, but there's a Black Friday was in November last year, so what's the big deal? It really seems to have have grown in magnitude. But if you think about it, exactly what you're saying, the Woolies trading update was not really wasn't spectacular. But I think the market's saying, well, hang on a second, maybe if the environment becomes a lot more enabling, then it could do very, very well, because it traded to under $60 after the update, and now today, what, 66, almost 67 rand. It's a phenomenal turnaround. It was up 9%, I think, today. Maybe there was also a little bit of short covering, because I think the other thing that I'm seeing is the volumes are still thin. You see it most importantly most powerfully in the smaller caps and the unloved mid caps, where there's really little activity. You know, you look at some of the things that we really like, some of the small caps. You know, it's as though the buyers haven't returned from holiday yet. And I think there is still quite a lot of volatility, because I don't think interest in the broader market has picked up yet. We came back, you know, this year, I think, after the Cyril Ramaphosa victory, Rand was strong, retailers, banks got a lot better. But I don't think we actually have hit second gear in the bulk of the market.
And Frans, how are you seeing Woolworths at the moment? Because I know Karen Richards was tweeting about some key technical levels that it had to cross. Has it passed any of those key technical levels, or are we seeing a break to the upside here?
Well, Steve, the other day when I actually tweeted about it, the other day when it was hammered to pieces, I saw the ugly candle, but immediately after that I saw that there was some guys coming in to buy it. And I didn't look at the chart of Karen, but what I do see here is I see a nice inverse head and shoulder. Now, I would like to show the viewers that there's the left shoulder, there's the beautiful head, and there's the right shoulder, and we're just above that neckline of 65.78. So if we can break above that and we can carry on doing that, I mean, we can have a target of about 68.41 and even as high as 73.28. So I like this chart. It looks like a turnaround story, and I didn't think about what Graham just said. I think maybe there's a change of tune happening in South Africa. So that's maybe why people are looking at Woolies here. And the chart looks like a turnaround story, but it must remain above this neckline. But at least it looks better than, as we've seen it a few months ago, around 56, 57 rand.
Okay. So we do have a question about some shares that are pretty unloved at the moment, and that's the Resilience group of companies, Graham. I know that Des De Beer today, there was a fake Twitter account in his name, and Resilient put out a statement saying that it didn't actually belong to Des De Beer. Yeah. Nevertheless, we had Resilience down 4.5% today, Nepi Rockcastle down 7.7%, and Fortress down 4.5% as well. And David Russell asks whether you could comment on the fall in the share prices of that group.
Well, look, I think anybody who is suspected of being a target of investigation of you know,
Viceroy.
There's almost a sense of panic around. So, you know, a little while ago, the rumor was that it might be Aspen. I think that's really the issue, firstly. Secondly, I think there's also a real fear out there that maybe these stocks, you know, have run too hard. The yields are not spectacular, particularly if you look at like a Nepi Rockcastle. So I think people are saying, but hang on a second, just how good is this Eastern European story? And you know, if there's any sort of question around it, then in terms of the financial reports, people don't want to be there. So I think it's a combination of factors. But what's hurting them, if you look at something like Growthpoint, it's back at, what, 27, 28 bucks. It's looking a lot better. And I think one of the reasons is that, you know, there's a, let's call it a committed pot of capital that has to sort of play in that listed mm-hmm. property space. And if they're getting out of these stocks, then obviously they're looking for work elsewhere.
Do you see anything fundamentally wrong with companies like Resilient?
No, well, the short answer is no. I don't follow them very, very closely, but you would think not. But equally, we didn't think there was anything really sinister with Steinhoff, because I think the issue with Steinhoff, and to my way of thinking, that the questions that Viceroy had around Steinhoff emerged with Mattress Firm. And obviously the aggregate debt and the fact that they were overpaying for things. But I think even Viceroy were very pleasantly surprised by just how I said to somebody the other day, they went digging for gold and they struck oil, you know. So the short answer is no, but equally, you know, you can't actually dig into financial statements closely enough to often pick up these off-balance sheet things or things that might be sitting in the balance sheet at 100 rand but have no value or a significantly lower value. But the short answer is no, and I think the company itself has put out a statement to say there's nothing that they're aware of.
Yeah. From a technical perspective, what you're seeing with Resilience at the moment, is it creating a buying opportunity perhaps for this group of stocks?
No, at the moment I'm a little bit worried. I think what I'm thinking about is that we are at super low interest rates around the world for so long, and higher interest rates are usually not good for property. And I wonder if investors are not just saying, but isn't every little bit of good news are discounted? Because if you look at this chart, just have a look from 2014, from 56 Rand all the way up to about 155 in a matter of 2.5 years. I mean, it's a phenomenal run. But what worries me technically is I'm seeing this massive rising wedge developing. And remember, this is a weekly chart. So the fall over the last few weeks is close to the support line, and that worries me a little bit. This support line will break at 128.06, and we are now 131.48. And if that plays out, it can easily take the stock down to 101.55. So I like the chart, unless if you're very optimistic, you can buy on the support line, because every time it gets there, it bounces up there. But this move from, you can almost say a straight move from 152 to about 130 in a few weeks, that does bother me a bit. So maybe a relief rally, but below the support line, definitely I'll be out of the stock. I will not buy it.
Could you perhaps pull up the Nepi Rockcastle graph as well, Frans, to see whether that's similar?
Yeah, there's the Nepi. Let's do that one. There's the Nepi Rockcastle. It bounced off of these lower levels. Maybe we can just go to a weekly chart here to see. Yeah, it bounced off this chart here, off the support line. And I think maybe this one was so overdone that it had to bounce, almost like a Woolies. It fell off a cliff from 218 Rand all the way down to 182. It bounced now. It looks better, but it must hold above the support line, and that it's at 182.17. But I mean, from 218 to 180, nasty drop as well.
Graham, you mentioned perhaps things looking a bit better for the economy this year. And Hans has a question about Imperial Holdings. He says, we've seen a strong rally since the ANC conference.
Yeah.
Is it only because Imperial is seen as an SA Inc. stock? It seems expensive, or is it still a buy at current levels?
Well, it's not a pure SA Inc. stock. Of course, they've got assets in Europe. But yeah, I think it is. You think about where they make money in logistics, in vehicles. It is a huge beneficiary. But if I could actually just say, and people say, stop being negative. Think about that share price. It's run from under 200 Rand to 260 Rand. Now, I have no doubt that the economic landscape, the cards are better stacked right now than they were a month ago. But if you look at the World Bank, I think they upgraded us to 1.1% GDP growth. So I think what we've also got to realize is we've still got quite a few boxes we need to tick. So we need to fix the two centers of power within the ruling party and government. We have to get through a Moody's rating. We need to get through a State of the Nation. We need to get through a budget. There's a lot that actually still has to happen. And it's not as though, let's remember, we've got a big hole in our national accounts, even before free education. So I think we must also temper our optimism slightly. I think, so what I'm saying is a run from 190 Rand to 260 Rand, I believe, is more than discounting the economic activity that we're going to see and probably the improvement in profits. Mm-hmm. So my sense is, overall, we must actually just be a little bit careful and say, okay, well, Standard Bank has had a phenomenal run. It's gone from, 160-odd Rand to 200 Rand very, very quickly. Have their fortunes actually changed by that order? So we must be careful not to start paying premium ratings for companies that are probably still, for the bulk of 2018 at least, not going to show a marked improvement in profits.
Yeah. Are you seeing Imperial as overbought, France?
Yes, definitely. And what I don't like about it, I mean, it had one wonderful rally. And why was that rally? Because there was a left shoulder, a massive head, a beautiful right shoulder, and it played out to the T. But unfortunately, Graham said, it rallied almost in one line to the top. And now I'm seeing what we call a lamppole formation. That makes me a little bit negative. So although everything is positive, and I pick up something around the world, that everybody is just so complacent about this bull market, that everything is okay, all the economies are doing well. And that's usually one of the signs that you need to be a little bit cautious on markets, because if everybody is just so keen on buying the markets, it tells you that there's a lot of people that hasn't got informed info behind them. So what they do is they hear about Imperial, they buy the company, it rallies up, and before you know it, maybe it's down. Because Graham will agree with me, yes, last year was a good year on the markets, but there was plenty of shares that disappointed terribly. So I think it had such a wrong rally, I will not buy it now. And I will actually look at maybe locking some profits after all this optimism below 245.90, because I think it can come back to this trend line that's waiting at around 221. But as Graham said, from 190 to 260, beautiful rally.
Okay, before we go to break, Adapt IT, the panel's view. And I think we saw some a trading update from them a day or two ago, which looked pretty good. In fact, better than expected, up to 25% improvement in their headline earnings per share.
Okay, so I think Adapt IT, I've often said, I said this when EOH was 140 Rand, so you would rather look at that, almost as the new version of EOH. But I suppose now the debate is with EOH at 60 Rand, and obviously they're taking a 385 million Rand hit courtesy of selling the grid technologies and the related companies. I think that's a good thing, frankly. I think if there's a question mark over it, rather get rid of it, keep your reputation clean. So I'm not entirely sure what EOH is going to give us when they release for July. But let's say they give you, 6 Rand or 7 Rand, which I think is, let's say 7 Rand's maybe slightly optimistic, but 6 Rand I think you can probably take as largely in the bag. This share sitting on a 10 multiple, it's got an incredible client base. It's got 5,000 clients, it's got, I think, 12,000 employees. It is the go-to IT shop. So that's, I think, the problem that I would now have with Adapt IT. Also, for quite a long time, didn't really deliver. Mm-hmm. Did one or two transactions that seemed to work quite well, but now the market, and myself included, are almost taking a wait and see to see whether it was kind of one anomaly year, or if it is a significant turnaround. So what I'm really saying is, Adapt IT may have a lot of merit, but frankly, if you're looking for the tech exposure, I would rather go for EOH right now. Mm.
Do you have a preference there, Franz?
Well, I will also prefer EOH after the massive drop that it had. And I mean, look at ADI, it went from 6 Rand to 8 Rand 22 on that massive rally. Did break above a resistance line, and that is now a support. But I usually like a stock that if it bounces, it must first come back, and do a little bit of a consultation before it goes higher, before I look at it. At the moment, in actual fact, I will sit on my hands. If I've got the stock, I'll hold on to it, because it looks very good above 793, 795, and it's 822. But I think you may be a little bit late if you are a trader to buy it. If you've got a little bit of a medium to a long-term view, wait for the consolidation and then the break to get in.
Okay, well, it's time for a break. Keep sending through those questions via SMS to 41392. Email us on stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can also tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome back. Time to check in on how global markets are trading. And we're starting off in the United States, where it's a bit of a mixed picture. We've had some of the main indices edging lower today, declines in healthcare and energy stocks. And that's pausing a rally that we have seen for the S&P and the Dow Jones. Both of those are weaker. We do have the tech-heavy NASDAQ trading marginally higher this evening. Across the Atlantic, negative closes in the UK, FTSE 100 falling by a third of a percent. Across the channel, though, we had the CAC 40 closing marginally higher, the DAX in Frankfurt up by 0.75% today. Still with me in studio, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective. We have independent analyst Frans de Klerk on the line from Forsberg. And a question from Brendan. Good evening, gents. Bitcoin or Ethereum?
No opinion.
Okay, so now, Frans, I'm going to put it to you, because I did see you were tweeting the other day that there was a rising star formation forming for Ethereum, and I should have listened to you, because it has since then fallen quite drastically. So, I mean, could you pull up perhaps graphs of both of those and give us your preference?
Yeah, I hope that you see this chart, because I'm following this chart and I do some opinions during the day. And why I like Ethereum, and this is Ethereum's chart. Look at this beautiful tweezer bottom here, if the viewers can see. And there's also a nice inverse head and shoulders. So guys, I like the chart above 1,100. It can easily go back all the way to 1,288. That will be my target for the inverse head and shoulder, but then lock in profit and go, because I don't think the fun to the downside is over yet. So I will prefer Ethereum.
Okay. And do you have a chart for Bitcoin, perhaps?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's so big nowadays. I mean, you must have a chart. Look at this beautiful tweezer bottom following here. That's a morning star formation. So it will trigger a buying signal above 11871, stop loss 10644, and all the way up to 13361. But listen, guys, this is nervous stuff. This is not for the, it's for the adrenaline junkies. Comrades is not good enough. It's to run a comrades with a 20 kilogram bag of cement on your back.
Okay, well, let's hope that helps them, Brendan. So you didn't have a thought on Ethereum or Bitcoin. How about White Maize for Benny?
Okay, maize. Yeah, White maize.
Okay, yeah, so while you put up that chart, yeah, Graham's going to share his thoughts on White
Maize. I think probably,
maize.
You know, we've had very good rains. Prices have come off. So that's what La Nonina has definitely helped, and you've seen it come through in for example, the likes of Astral, you know, and the chicken producers seeing lower feed prices. So, yeah, I would say after a great year and good crops, it may not be a bad one. I'd rather be there than in the yeah. Bitcoins or the Ethereums myself.
It's just something you can touch and eat.
Yeah, and people do need it.
Yeah.
Okay, Franz.
If you look at the chart, the white near chart, and I've got the weekly chart here. In actual fact, I think if you, instead of buying a Bitcoin or Ethereum or one of those stocks, well, they're not stocks, one of those cryptocurrencies, I will say to myself, look at this chart of the white maize chart. And I like this chart. And the reason being, remember, we had a super crop, a bumper crop last year. But this year, the rains are not that good. But what is this chart is telling us, from the low of about 1,700 a ton, all the way it's finding some higher lows, and the big crack will come when it breaks above 2,070. And then, I mean, you've got this massive climb to climb. Yes, it will take a bit of time, but this chart can easily go back to 3,400. And remember, maize loves a weaker rand. And for the last few weeks, we've just seen a stronger rand. And we know that the rain is not that great in the crop area. So I prefer white maize, but this is maybe a medium of a long-term play. Mm. But I think it can pay you off quite well. Yeah.
It looks as though there's quite a lot of optionality there. The price has sort of been, obviously, you know, you got the crops coming in and then the price does nothing for a period of time. But to me, that looks like you've got quite a lot of optionality. So if you're saying, well, you know what, maybe we don't have such a great crop, you could, as Franz says, you could actually make some nice money on it. And it looks from that as though, together with the fact that we had such a great crop last year, as though you've probably got a fighting chance of making money there.
Mm. And Franz also said that the maize price likes a weak rand, and we have seen that rand strength, but will that hold, Graham?
I have no idea. I tell you what I do think is, I think right now we're being given the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, there's another NEC meeting happening today and tomorrow, and there's lots of speculation that the recall of President Zuma is going to be discussed there. I think we need to convert a lot of this. We need policy clarity. Who knows what we're going to get in the budget? All we know is collections are down. We continue to spend. We've got national, you know, it's the national wage bill for civil servants is huge. So there are some real challenges. Of course, South Africa is a commodity currency. Commodity prices have been strong. So we've almost had the perfect storm. My gut is that right now, if you ask where's the next 50 cents on the rand, I wouldn't be surprised to see it give back, simply because there's just so much good news priced in. And you saw, for example, London was down, quite a few of the commodity stocks were a little bit softer as well.
Okay, well, one stock that I'm sure would like a weaker rand is Brait. So we have a question here. Will Brait's share price continue to drop, or should one consider buying at current levels?
You know, every time you think it's sort of must be there now, the problem now is New Look, I think, is looking to shut 10% of their stores, and the problem is how do you drive the aggregate profit when you're shutting stores? I understand that you can contain losses and you can maybe repair some of the damage. I've always said it's now a call option on New Look, and that doesn't look great, particularly with all the discomfort that's around Brexit. Mm. But maybe if we can just go back and ask Franz also on the currency, because I think maybe that he'll have more insight into currency than I would.
Okay, so Franz, currency and then Brait.
Yeah, let's maybe talk the currency. I think that we are just so overbought on the rand side. If I want to take some rand out of the country, it's maybe time to do it now. Below 12 rand, we can go to 11.80, but there's something that, as Graham touched on, and I think what Mr. Ramaphosa is looking at, maybe agricultural land to take it without compensation, that can turn the whole ball game around. If something skew comes out of there and suddenly you go a Zimbabwean route, this rand can turn around within a wink. And my level here is, the big level to watch is 12 rand and 54 cents. If that turns around, this thing can rocket up to 1440. So as Graham say, all the good news, according to me as well, is priced in, and the rand is on the chart also extremely overbought. And if you take a longer term chart, every time that it's been so overbought, yes, it can remain overbought for a while, but if it bounces, it bounces strongly. And remember, the dollar, the American dollar, is just so weak at the moment. If that just turns a little bit to the upside, then things can change for the rand. Unfortunately, yeah.
If I can just add something else in that mix on the rand before we maybe go back to Brait. I think the gorilla in the room is long bonds. Okay, so you've seen inflation in the US tick up. Last Friday's data point wasn't great. You've seen the 2-year go through 2% for the first time since the GFC. And a lot of people talking about 260 on the 10-year as being critical. So my whole point is that a lot of people who've been in the markets for the last 6 or 8 years have never seen US Treasuries at 3%. No. And you say, oh, well, you know, it now 2.5 or 2.6, it's really, the yields have gone up. Hello, if you've got inflation running at 2%, these yields are still very, very low. Now, my sense is that if that long bond continues ticking up and if inflation actually starts biting in the US, that is probably the thing that could set the pace. Franz was talking about this complacency that's in markets. I think that is quite possibly the thing that could actually upset that. Now, ironically, when everybody's happy about the world and there's a sense that, you know, the bull market in equities is going to continue forever and people are comfortable with emerging markets and currencies, I think we're benefiting from that. Push US yields higher, get a little bit of angst in global equity markets, and suddenly you could see that position turn around quite quickly. So I think right now there's enough reason to just be a little bit concerned on the currency, on the SA, talking about the SA stocks and on the equity markets generally.
Okay, it's almost time to go with the stock picks, Sam France. So could you maybe just quickly tell us that whether all the bad news is priced into Brait at this point?
Well, if you look at the chart, I mean, unfortunately, this is a terrible chart. This just tells you that the bad news is not yet discounted. It's going lower and lower and lower by the day. In actual fact, I'm a little bit worried here because remember with Steinhoff came Mr. Marcus Joost and Mr. Wiese is a big player here. I wonder if what you see here with Brait is that a lot of investors say, but how can a guy like Mr. Wiese's statue didn't know anything about it? And that's maybe why they knocked the share price as well. I wait for a turnaround, but it's going to take a long time. And I personally think this chart is only going to turn around after the next bull market is gone. So the next bear market, then we can buy it again.
Okay. Time to go with our stock picks. And Graham, you've chosen Ethos Private Equity.
Yeah. So my real issue is I'm uncomfortable with the rally we've seen in SA Inc. stocks. So what is Ethos Private Equity? Basically a listed private equity instrument.
Like Brait used to be.
Yeah. But what I like about them is the NAV is probably now approaching 11 Rand. There's still quite a lot in cash. You're talking about companies that will benefit from SA Inc. It's in their portfolio. You know, they've got a position in Prime Media, for example, and in Twinsaver. There's a whole lot of businesses underlying there. So, but those companies possibly have even more upside participation than a lot of the bigger caps, you know. So I'm saying, from my point of view, 8 Rand 75. There've been sellers who try to stag the thing, who got it completely wrong, and I think management is letting them sweat. I think at 8.75, this is probably, in my mind, the best buy in our market, because you're buying a good private equity portfolio at almost a 50% discount to NAV, and if you get a narrowing in that discount and the markets perform and the underlying portfolio performs, you're going to make money. So I think it's heads you're not going to lose and tails you're going to win on this one.
Okay, and Frans, surprise coming from you. We don't know what's coming.
Okay. Well, this is Ethos's chart, Graham. Nice turnaround story. It looks like it if I look at the chart. In actual fact, what I do myself is I'm busy building a short in the S&P 500 and even a short in the local market. I mean, but that's only on the trading view. But I built the short for maybe a 2 or 3 year view. But if I need to buy something on the market, I'll probably buy Grand Parade, but I'll be out when the stop loss gets triggered. Stop loss is 235. I will buy above 283, and my target will be around 309, maybe 328, and then I'll be out of it.
Okay, Graham. And just very, very quickly, could you give us a graph on Anglo American? Because Ben would like to know whether it could reach 400 Rand.
Well, it is at 300 now. I think after this massive rally, we need a pullback to at least 262, but I think eventually it can reach 400. But not now. I think the market just had such a rally. We need to see a breather of some kind in time to come.
Okay, I'm afraid that's where we have to leave it for this evening. And we'll be back, of course, to answer more of your stock-related questions on Monday. Thanks again to Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective, also to independent analyst Frans de Kerk on the line from Forsberg. More Stockwatch on Monday.